plans and kind of get on with life. And there's this season of waiting and anticipation and this longing for intimacy. And God uses this image where he's returning for his church and we're going to be together for all of eternity. And I don't want you to miss that. And so part of what compels us is that image. Then there was the image of the body of Christ. And, you know, Chris talked about it already this morning, this idea of being connected for survival, that all, he gifts with different gifts and each body part has a role to play. And that there's this grand design and it's built to function and actually do something. And that you have a place in the family of God, in the body of Christ, where you're needed and you need others. And then the family of God was the other picture that the New Testament gives us that I talked about. And for me, you know, the family name in those days implied an incredible security. Your family's supposed to be who has your back. It's this belonging that there's a place where I'm known, that there's an inheritance, and there's a place where I'm a son or a daughter. And so today and next week are a two-week really connected sermon. And I'm going to give you the biblical basis for community this week. And next week I'm going to talk about all of the obstacles and objections and some of the things we just haven't seen work well and why we're trying to do what we're doing. So if you're like, oh man, if I don't like this week, I'll skip. No, next week is going to be really fun. Or if you know somebody that missed this week, all of our sermons are online. There's like 12 years worth of sermons there. If you go to gcalliance.org, the PowerPoints are there, the MP3 or 4, whatever it is, you can listen. And we want you to be able to catch up and keep up. But we really felt this was important. As I thought about community, part of the problem that we run into, and I'll talk about this next week more, is we sort of port our view of what we've experienced and what the world tells us about into our faith experience. As I thought about places that people find community and places I've found community, it's been things like this, a connection with others based on location, right? We talk about communities in Bloom or the community of Cold Lake. So, you know, that's kind of one way we look at it. Interests. I know lots of people that are part of online gaming communities and they travel to conventions and people who belong to different clubs and because they like to work on cars or restore automobiles or do this and that. Identity. That there's some groups that are formed just around identity. And you see that mostly in high school. How many of you like saw the jocks hang out together and then saw the, did that happen in your high school? Guys that like to smoke drugs, they all hung out together, and you wore matching gear. You could always pick them out, right? And they found their community around some of the things that they identified around. Ideology. Man, we see this in the States like crazy. Where right now they're forming their community, they're finding like-minded people around ideology, and that's becoming their group, or life experiences or activities. You get it, right? And I think it's part of the reflection of God. And when he says, let's make man and let's make him in our image, there's this idea in the Trinity that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and then the angels and all of that, you see relationship and community as part of the whole deal. And so I think it's actually a reflection of God in you that you seek out, that you need, and that you desire to find and engage in community. Now, when it comes to Christian community, it's different than what you find in the world. I've seen churches try and go, well, if culturally they like the same age group, or they like the same interests, or they like the same, let's just try and find natural ways that community happen around the same stage in life, or the same interest you have, and you'll find it there, and then we'll just add God to it. And I think it's a lot deeper than that. So can I just unpack for you the basis of community found in the gospel? Because let's just be honest. we're going to talk about this next week. We wouldn't all choose each other naturally in friendship, right? Like, some of you really can't stand me. It's okay. I understand. But we have something in common where God has said, this is the deal. So let's start. This is important for you to know. You can't miss this. We have to start here. We are all in the same boat. Now, if you're a human, stick your hand up. It's interactive. All right. So you're all humans. And the human condition has some absolutes. Did you have to be born? Will you all die? Will you survive without water? Can you exist without food? And so even if I said, man, I don't want to be a human. I want to be a fish. And I want to breathe underwater. And I'm going to imagine myself as a fish. And I'm going to go underwater. Will I die? Yeah, absolutely I will. And it's a ridiculous illustration, but it's so true, right? The human condition has some absolutes. And when we get to our spiritual life, we hate this. If there's one thing that most people reject, it's the exclusivity of the gospel, that there's one way to be saved and that you have a problem you need to be saved from. They don't like it. Because you were born with human DNA, you were born apart from God, dead in your sin. This is what Scripture tells us. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. It tells us this in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And over the years, as we've talked about sin and fall, and people are just like, ah, I hate it when something is attributed to me that wasn't a decision I make. Now you can walk them back and do the whole, hey, are you perfect? Well, no, but I'm a good person. Hey, have you ever made a mistake? Well, yeah. But I don't like this idea that simply because I was born with human DNA, I was born apart from God, that what Adam and Eve did was the fall of mankind and is attributed to me. But in the same way, that your human condition means there are some absolutes. Spiritually, this is an absolute. Not a one of you was born able to be in a relationship with the righteous God. You were created for that, but you weren't born able to have it. Interesting, some of the responses I've heard over the years. I had to put these down because I was just having so much fun thinking about it. Immediately, our inner lawyer, does anyone else have an inner lawyer? I have one. He's really good. And the inner lawyer says, let's compare to others. Let's just apply reason to this whole problem. I am much better than my neighbors or the people that are around me or a bunch of the people that I work with. I don't do what those people do. I don't do what those people do. I don't do what those people do. Surely, living a better life must be enough. Or this one. My intent is right. My heart is good. Surely God would see that I didn't intend to hurt anybody or intend to fill in the blanks. I love it when we talk about that. My heart's good and I didn't intend and I'm better than. I think of the Pharisees. And the Scriptures tell us they knew, I mean, every aspect of the law. And God gave us the law to just expose our inability to live up to it, right? And he said, here's the rules. You want to try and work your way in? Here they are. Can't do it. The Pharisees were as close as you could come, and Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Dead. Empty. See, we're in this same boat. Here's another one. God is loving. There's no way a loving God would condemn me to eternal punishment. I love it when we focus only on one attribute of God and we don't take the whole of God as revealed in Scripture, right? And we don't say, well, he's loving and he's just. And he hates sin. and there's a penalty. And justice demands a penalty. Or some of the other good ones I hear, it's not fair. I didn't get to choose. It's decided for me. All of that to tell you this. The absolute truth is that we needed saving. We needed something we couldn't earn or deserve. No amount of rule keeping or self-righteousness or trying to clean ourselves up or trying to be better than others would fix the problem. As a human with human DNA, we are in the same boat. Born dead in our sin apart from God. Period. You need to know that. And it's essential to this whole idea of community. Because nobody came in a better place than someone else. Just because your experience in the boat is different, and just because some of you had a better, you know, you grew up in the church, or you didn't go down this road, you aren't morally superior somehow, you don't have some special thing, we're in the same boat. We're in need of a Savior and eternally condemned for our sin because we're born of human DNA. Secondly, I want you to know God lovingly took action. It says in John 3, 16 and 17, such familiar words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And so there isn't this, Jesus is going to come and condemn. He's coming to be in your place and in mine. He's this propitiation, He went in our place. He was absolutely born of God and born of man. He was perfect. And as the perfect substitute, chose to lay his life down as payment for all man's sin, should you choose to respond to it and to accept it. Colossians 1:13 says, he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. And listen to what it says here in Romans 5, 8 to 11. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we now have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from him, by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God that through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So God took action. He provided a way. We were all in the same boat, and he loved us. And he said, I'm going to give you the law, and I'm going to set apart a people, and I'm going to deliver the perfect substitute, and he's going to come and go in your place. And forever, for anyone who chooses to accept that, if you confess with your heart, or confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus did this for you, you shall be saved, the word says. And then something amazing happens. We're now made new. We become full sons and daughters of God. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for God, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we've got these crazy cool words for this, right? And you can theologically explore it, but here's what happened. You go from dead to life. You go from a heart of stone to a heart that's alive. You're a new creation in Christ. When you accept this for you, the penalty of that sin, that apartness is gone, and you're out of the boat. You're into the family. Right? You're now sons and daughters of God. You have a father, and you bear the father's name. and you're adopted, and it says you're chosen by God, and you're given full rights as heirs and joint heirs, as sons and daughters. You have an inheritance both now and for eternity. And it says that belonging to this family is going to be visible both to the world and to the spiritual realm. And it says we're to be agents of, they call this reconciliation, taking what's apart and bringing it together, right? Helping others get out of the boat that they're in simply because of their human condition. This is all so important. See, you got to understand, if you're just checking out faith, great, keep checking. I'm sure God's going to show himself to you. And if you have discovered this and you go, okay, Pastor, I believe, A, B, C leads to D, okay? He didn't say that you could go, okay, yeah, I don't want to pay the penalty for my sin, and yeah, I believe that God loved the world, and this is his path, that, yeah, I'll accept Christ's forgiveness for me on a cross. But now that you're a son and a daughter and an heir and a joint heir, there is very specific instruction on growth and participation in the family. And now that you have a father who sets the rules for the family and a family name and a way of operating, he's just laid it out for us in Scripture, and he's given it to us. And this is not the optional part, because it says, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. It says we're to be ambassadors. We're to be ministers of reconciliation. The Bible uses this term, conformed into the image of Christ. And I love this idea of sanctification, where God sees you through the filter of what Jesus did and you're forgiven, but he's enabling you to live up to who you already are in Christ. He's enabling you to put off those things that ensnare you and walk into your new life and live up to the potential that you have. The design of God was for the church to be that place. The people of God together, the body of Christ, it was to function. Now, just sit back. I hate telling you to close your eyes, but I really read these words, because some of you are just going to go out. I know it. You've just had a long day. It's warm in here now. You're going to go out. But picture with me, if you will, as these words are on the screen and as I read them, what this community looks like, what this family looks like. Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what's good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. As it talks about in Romans 12, that God didn't say, okay, you're saved, I'm going to tell you how to operate as a family, and then I'm going to let these little groups spring up all over the place, and you guys will just have to fight with each other till you figure it out. Ever been to that dysfunctional family dinner? Where there's just kind of no rules and everybody's trying to get it done and they know they should be a family and love each other, but they have no way of figuring it out, making it happen. He said, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not only going to tell you what my design is and tell you what my desire is and paint this picture of how it can look. I'm going to gift you and equip you and train you and empower you to make it happen. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Some takeaways for me out of the instructions regarding family life. that family life will be visible, that we will be seen by others and participating together, that somehow that joint thing is so important. Secondly, that as I read all of these passages and I study it, growth is anticipated. In fact, it says the father goes through the vineyard and cuts off the branches that don't produce fruit. That the anticipation I think it's in Ephesians where he talks about being rooted and growing and established so you're not tossed about by the waves and blown over by culture. That being tapped into God and all of that maturing process and all of that growth process and all of that bearing fruit process happens in relationship and community as the gifts work together and the head, who is Christ, sends the messages down and it works. It basically says that relationship with one another is essential to maturity, to growth, and to fruit. There are 54 one another's clearly spelled out for brothers and sisters doing life. You see, there's a difference between knowing and being known. I read a great story about a historian who studied the life of a great general and read all the letters he wrote to his family, read and tried to interview anyone who would have information about how it worked and what happened, and just studied this person's life. Spent years and years and years just poring over all the military decisions, how they did things, and wrote amazing books. And there was nothing you could ask this person about this historical figure that they didn't know intellectually. Did they ever meet? There's a difference between being known and knowing. That word, when it starts painting this picture of how we're supposed to operate in Romans, let your love be genuine. In the Greek, there's a positive and negative side to the word, and the negative would be without hypocrisy, authentic. Let it have nothing lacking. It talks about being known. When I think about brotherly love, I think about my brother cannot choose not to love me. I guess he could, but I don't think he will. We're family, right? And even though we might not call each other a lot, or he might do something dumb, or I might say something hurtful, we work it out because we're family. It's that brotherly love, right? Not based on what I do for you, based on who we are to each other. There's this seeking to show honor, to outdo, that he talks about. That you're for somebody's best. That you believe in them. Practice hospitality, contributing to the needs, being invested. All of that paints a picture of something. It's not just knowing about it, and it's not just gaining information. It's being known and participating. Let's ask you the big question. So what? This is a two-parter, right? Here's what you need to know today, and I'll tell you where I'm going next Sunday. What you need to know today is that biblical community looks different. First and foremost, it's based on the gospel, not on anything else. And everyone who comes to faith in Jesus, who comes to new relationship, new life in Christ, their brothers and sisters, who God's opened their eyes, they've responded to what Jesus did on a cross for them, they are now part of this family, and the basis of the gospel is where this comes from. It's God who adopts, it's He who decides, and while it's a really famous phrase, it's true, you can choose your friends, you can't choose your family. This is us, right? And in the New Testament, they gathered here and they gathered there. And it shows us gathering in groups as the people of God, imperfectly doing this thing called church. But the basis, what we have in common, is the gospel. That we've all come in the same boat, that we've all been forgiven. We might have different roles in life. Some of you might be the boss at work, and you might be the big cheese, and you can make all the decisions. And some of you guys can fly airplanes, and I'm so jealous. It's so cool to see the jets going by. I'm like, oh, that's got to be awesome. And some of you, you know, so we have different roles that we play, and not all of you have the same gifts. You can't stand up here and lead, or I don't understand the soundboard. Saturday was hilarious because Friday I was trying to figure something out, just lost. Not my gift. But while we have different roles, and I mean, that I used this passage last week where it says that our human view of what's honorable and what's not isn't God's view. I think we're going to get to heaven and find out some janitor who faithfully cleaned and prayed is going to live in the biggest reward. We just didn't know that they faithfully used their gift for God. I'm here to tell you right now that biblical community, the basis for the gospel is different. God decides who's in. And whoever he brings, he's gifting the body. And you have a commission, you have a role. You don't have the opportunity, you don't have the right to opt out at this point. Meaning, if you've accepted that God loves you, if you've accepted what Christ did for you on a cross, knowing and being known, finding your role and fulfilling what God has for you, entering into the works he's prepared for you to do, that is of the essence. The body is designed to function. And when you don't function, not only does the body miss out, but you don't grow and mature and miss out too. Can you imagine people staying on milk? Like, go to the nursery sometime. I think, you know, at different times we've had like 8, 12 kids in there. And all those babies are just helpless, right? And you give them milk and they have to be changed, they have to be held, they have to be cared for and cared about. That's fine when they're a baby. That's really, really odd if they don't mature past that. You are clearly gifted by God. It says he chooses give you a gift in his grace. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gives you his spirit to empower you and to lead you. You are expected to mature and to bear fruit. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says he's prepared works for you to participate in. Growth for you and for others depends on this. There is a place for you here. You are not here by accident. Placed you in this place and this time, and it tells us in Acts he knew that. And you are part of his family. So next week I want to talk about all the roadblocks and all the I just want to get really honest. How about when you got known and you got hurt? Is there a one another for that? How about when you went into, okay, I'm going to get into community, and it just didn't get real, and you just felt like you were wasting your time. Or it wasn't fair. You did more than they did. Or what are some other really good ones? When they irritated you? There's some one another's for those. We're going to talk about the roadblocks of culture next week. You know, the Superman, right? It's a risk to let people in and to be known. They're going to know some of your junk. We're going to talk about appropriateness and levels next week. We're going to talk about how we have the group gathering here where we worship together and some really cool things happen. And then as you gather maybe in some home, it's like a family supper. You know, your small group. And out of that, there's going to be some affinity develop. And there's going to be people that you can build a deeper relationship and trust with. And that there will be a level of community that we can't program or organize that comes out of that. But there'll be a way that your role and your gift is used in that place. And we're not telling you all of this and imploring you to grow and to mature and to get in with Jesus and to come with us and go because we want to brag about a full program or somehow we want to staff it. We want you to know the transforming power of the living God, to experience the gifts He's given His body. We want you to be those ambassadors, those witnesses. We want to see transformation happen. As we say yes to Jesus, let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and I thank you for your design. Well, I wouldn't have entrusted this message so importantly to people like us. You've chosen to give us your Spirit and send us out. Well, I might not have designed it the way you did. You are God and you know. So I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for the opportunity to kind of stop in a busy season and reflect on these things. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us when we were your enemies. Thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place. Thank you for the privilege to see that and to respond to it. And thank you for the adoption as a son and daughter. Thank you that you gift and empower and that you care. And thank you that you've given us the body and the others. Now, Lord, make us wise in how we walk with you.